And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
Mark, the first thing I want to do this morning is thank all of our listeners that attended our fourth annual movie night.
Yes, indeed.
Last Thursday at the Avon Theater for the viewing of The 13th Day, which was a look at the Marian apparitions at Fatima, Portugal in 1917, 100 years ago.
Yes.
And I believe we sold 450 tickets to
we
the
did.
Event.
We did. It was a huge crowd.
And everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. And
absolutely.
You know, for $5 for a movie ticket makes for a great way to do a family night.
Yeah.
Even popcorn and a drink was affordable when you're only paying $5 for
a
ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know I saw lots of friends. I saw a lot of our That Man Is You friends.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
And some of the other parishes. It's nice when all the people from all the parishes have an opportunity to gather somewhere for a little friendship and then watch a movie that's very inspirational about the visions of Fatima.
You know, Dave, that is interesting because we tend to, and rightfully so, get very attached to our parish community, those that we see every week or every day for some of us that are able to go to daily Mass and chat, and you're so familiar with them. But it really is nice that we are able to have events that allow us to extend our knowledge of the Catholic community indicator and beyond. And it's just a great feeling to...
Well, and you know, Mark, one of the arteries of that is WDCR,
absolutely.
Decatur Catholic Radio. When we have our annual dinner, we see lots of old friends and we make new ones. Here we have the movie. In the past, we had the run, which I always just saw the back of our friends because they were all running ahead of me.
and I watched you all run by.
Yeah, and they all ran by me. One thing that I thought was kind of funny about the movie was when we tried to give away the door prizes.
Oh, my gosh.
We couldn't get the house lights brought up.
Well, do you think maybe that's something to note for next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get the house lights brought up so we can read the tickets.
They
and
couldn't
the
read
people.
Theirs. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I was embarrassed.
It was a great night. And
It was. I loved the movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. And I turned to Janet Ernst, who was sitting behind me, and her mother, Maria, and I said, is this out of focus? Because I thought, you know, what's happened here? And she said, it seems to be like me. But I think when I thought about it at the end, I think that was intentional.
Do you?
I think, well, a couple of things. It struck me that perhaps it added to a little of the mystique of the whole thing because you were looking through a distance, a number of years, and trying to see this and visualize it. And I think also it really added to the time period.
Yeah. You know, and it was neat. It was black and white until the Blessed Mother appeared.
And then
the
it color.
And then when she... disappeared, then it went back to black and white.
And I think perhaps lack of focus, Dave, was part of that schematic as well, where all of a sudden the color blended in, and it was so gradual and then so bright, and then it would blend back out.
Boy, has this been a wild week.
Oh, my gosh.
Know, the hurricanes,
earthquakes.
The threats in Asia, civil unrest in St. Louis and other cities. It's hard to watch the news with all the turmoil surrounding us. And sometimes, you know, you just have to take a break from the news and spend some time in silence and listen to God. You know,
yes.
We can't hear what God's trying to tell us if we're always turned into the news or yakking amongst ourselves, other than, of course, this show.
Well, it focuses us on earthly things instead of heavenly ones, where our mind should be.
Well, you know, Mark, people really do get stressed.
Oh,
physically,
my gosh.
And mentally stressed by watching this constantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have the 24-hour news cycle, which, you know, they have to have something to report. And it's just sometimes you've got to turn the noise off and listen to what God's trying to tell us. So on the good side of the news this week, the new Macon County Sheriff, Howard Buffett, donated $700,000 to the Boys and Girls Club just a few days ago. Right after his swearing in as sheriff, Mark, I've never met Sheriff Buffett, but maybe we can get him as a guest in the near future to talk about his vision for the department in Macon County.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, Dave. I have had the privilege of meeting him probably 7 or 8 years ago at his home, actually.
Wow.
And his office staff, his closest administrative staff, operates out of there. And I had gone there doing an investigation for the city, not against him, but
careful.
to get some information that they had there. And his, I guess it was his attorney, said, "Mr. Buffett would like to meet you." And so I said, "Is he here?" Because, you know, he travels so much over mm-hmm. on the other side of the globe. And they said, yes, and he'd like to meet you before you leave. And so I was ushered into his home office there in his home. And a very gracious man, very...
Was he pretty much in awe of you after he got
to meet you? Yeah, right. I was trying to find words to speak.
Well, after you were police chief and then the officer for human relations...
Well, he knew of my name. Oh, we just had not formally met, and I think that was one of the reasons he, you know, because he has had a great respect for law enforcement.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does, and he's done some great
very
things
generous
for the county.
To law enforcement.
Hey, Mark, we got a guest today in the studio.
We do, yes, and we I do. Have the honor of sitting right next to her.
Our guest today is Sister Chaminade Kelly of the Hospital Sisters of St. Francis and the parish nurse at St. James and Patrick Parish. Sister's heading to Springfield next week to continue her mission, and we've
she
asked her to
that.
Stop by this morning and chat about her time here in Decatur and at St. Mary's. So we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
We'll get a drink of water.
Okay.
And we'll come back on the other side with Sister Chaminade Kelly. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
Would you like a special way to dedicate a birthday, anniversary, or perhaps a memory of a loved one? Consider WDCR's Dedicate a Day, where your tribute will be on the air. For just $88.90, it's a great way of saying, "I'm thinking of you today," or "I'm remembering you today." Please call WDCR at 464-1099 for more information on how you may dedicate a day.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, sitting here with Mark Bartholomew, and our guest this morning in the studio is Sister Chaminade Kelly. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Great to have you here, Sister, and especially thank you for sitting next to me. Most guests won't do that, so I feel very honored.
I think they told me where to sit.
Oh, I'm sure Dave did. He controls everything. So,
so Sister, you know, we see you here around the hospital all the time throughout the day, and I know you are a extraordinary minister of Holy Communion here at church, as well as I don't know what else. Why don't you tell us a little bit, first of all, about yourself, and I'd love to know how you found your vocation in life.
Okay, I don't know myself how I found it, but I can tell you what I recall. It was a few years ago, as you can imagine. I grew up in a parish that was, I always say, an environment as well as a parish. It was just Irish-German, and that's pretty much what it was. I mean, the people in our parish, a lot of us were Irish, and we took it for granted. My mother used to say, "Well, that's a good name," when it was O'Neill or McCarthy or something like that. I didn't know what that meant, but I thought, well, that's a good name, I guess. Finally, I realized she meant that was an Irish name.
Yes,
and so
of course.
There wasn't anything wrong with those people, even if we wondered about them sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful, healthy kind of environment in parish. And one of the other influencing factors there was I could walk to church. I could walk to a Franciscan sister's, well, that was really St. Joseph's sisters who taught me all the way through, really. I went to Catholic school. I went to public kindergarten, and I always feel kind of guilty about that, that I went to this public school kindergarten, because everything else was Catholic all the way through my life. That was, I think it was a sacrifice my parents made at that time to make sure that I got to Catholic school and to that kind of an environment.
Well, they wanted to get you accustomed to being in a sinful environment for a year before you entered holiness.
Oh, I see. Oh, thank you for that explanation.
There you go. Hey, I'm a wealth of knowledge.
It's worth coming here to find things out like that.
Yes, see.
So, and then in addition to that, the Franciscan friars, we called them, the brothers and priests, they had their monastery also within walking of home. And we often went there to take them gifts and to receive the religious gifts, spiritual gifts from them. So, and then also some of them were took on roles at our college, at our high school. To teach religious topics and spirituality, whatever. We didn't use that word at the time, but it was spirituality and Catholic school teaching kind of thing. And the interesting thing that also affected me at that time was that at least two of the priests who came to take some of our classes were exiled or chose to be come back from China. They were missionaries. And they, like our sisters later, had also the choice, I think, to stay and take their chances or to just choose to be safe and sound and come back to the States, to their homes and to their communities. So I was impressed by that because one of the priests would tell us some of the details of his lifestyle and how they were not appreciated and how they were even victimized at the time. So they really needed to get out of there while they could. And so that was a decision they made, as well as some of our sisters made that too afterwards. So I was very impressed by the priests and the brothers. And I almost took one of those. We used to take a religious name. In fact, Chaminade, my name, is intentional. People say, where did you get that? So that's a whole other story. I have to come back sometime and tell you that, because okay. That's a separate story. But Father Theodoric was one of my favorite priests who came from China, and he would tell us stories about living in China and trying to decide how you can be yourself and be a religious symbol and carry out the gospel and the message and everything and still live in that environment where really they were, I guess being victimized is an appropriate word. So I almost took that name for my name, and it would have been Theodoric Kelly. I don't know if that sounds right or not, but I was kind of glad later on that I didn't take that, because he knew that I appreciated him. And so that's the environment I grew up in, and my family was very Catholic. I had one brother and one sister, and my brother was a Marianist priest. And so I certainly was following in his footsteps and all those also of the Marianist community, which is located in Dayton, Ohio, and many other places. And many people who don't know the name Chaminade don't realize there are schools named that way and out east.
Yeah, there's a college, Chaminade, isn't
St. Louis. Mm-hmm. A lot of different places. Chicago had one. I don't think they have one anymore, but anyway, that name is very unfamiliar to people. They say, what? Shama what? And then I say, well, you know, I sometimes go by Sister Kelly because I don't want that name manipulated and misspelled pronounced so poorly. Mm-hmm. And then also there are so many variations of it, Shaman and Chaminade and all kinds of things.
So
I said, well, just call me Sister Kelly. That'll be okay for today. But I do appreciate the name Chaminade, and it has a special spiritual message for me because Father Chaminade he also suffered a lot. During some of the French Revolution, and he had to hide. One of the images of him was that he had to hide his Christianity also from people who were persecuting Christians at that time. So he used to hide under a table. They said when the powers would come to investigate the homes and where the priests and brothers were living and where they were living out the Christianity, he would hide under a table, and the people there in the homes and so forth would protect him and cover him up with blankets and things, and he would just breathe quietly so that he was not found. So he was never really abused, or he was not killed, but he paid for his belief in beautiful ways. So when we had a chance to change our name, back to our original legal name. I chose to not do that, but just to keep Chaminade, because in my family, that had a lot of messages, mm-hmm. and a lot of meaning, and religious-wise and spiritual-wise, that had a lot of meaning, too, and it still does. I'm not in touch with the Marianists hardly at all anymore, because my brother died years ago, but I still get their magazine, and I always read to see, you know, who's doing what, and they're still very active in teaching. That's their primary ministry.
Well, Chaminade sounds like a holy name to me.
Does it? Well, yes. That's because of me, I think.
Right? It might is. Be. You may have formed my opinion of that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
You're the only person I know named that.
Is that right?
Yep.
There aren't very many.
Well, Sister, how did you end up here in Central Illinois, and particularly here in Decatur?
Okay. I just have to mention my sister because, as I said, there's the three of us, and she made up for my brother and myself. She had eight children.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
So I'm still very much in touch with them. And they were raised Catholic, too, and I appreciate all the things that my sister and brother-in-law, who was a physician, they sacrificed a lot to raise their kids, and they believed in the message that our environment and our church brought to them. I don't know about today, because I haven't followed them that closely, but I know at least some of them are still in the church, as we say, and practicing religion. None of them are priests or religious, but they are loyal Catholics. At least several of them are, and their children are as well, so I'm proud of that. Well, actually, I think it was the Franciscan friars, brothers, priests, who impressed me because of that experience of coming back from China. So I had a very simple goal. I was going to go to China. I was going to enter a religious community. I just got that a call, I think, is what it was. And I was going to go to China, and I didn't know that somebody else, when you entered the community, somebody else told you what to do. You didn't say what you were going to do. But I was going to go to China and chase all the communists out because they were really persecuting the Christian people. And so I thought that sounded pretty heroic and pretty exciting. So when I got to religious community, of course, I had to go through the mill. Actually, I didn't know one sister from our community. I didn't know anybody. I knew the sisters who taught me. And I appreciate them, Sisters of St. Joseph. Well, I don't know if they use that word Carondelet, but they're all one now. And I had a wonderful Catholic education. I'm so grateful for that. And so when I went through the experience of formation, we used to call it, I guess we still do, of postulancy and novitiate, and kept contact with some of the friars. Some of the friars used to come and visit me and encourage me in my ministry. I had one particular one, Father Conwin McCurran, and he really, whenever there was something going on, there was a crisis or a question or something, he would just appear. There he was, you know. So friendship in religious community is a gift, a wonderful thing. Mm. So then I found out that our own sisters had this choice of staying in China or and taking their chances there. They may live, they may die, they didn't know what they would do. So I think it was four. I'm not sure if that's correct or not. You can find that out if you need details to make this accurate, but there were several who decided to stay, and they were native Chinese. Mm. The sisters who were either German or Polish made that choice, and I think they all came back, and some on the way back to America stopped in Japan, and that's where our Japanese mission started, too. It was kind of a spinoff, and that's simplifying it very much. But that was part of those sisters who were very brave going to China in the first place and then being eased out of China and going to Japan to minister. And
wow.
It's a wonderful story if you could read that and see, you know, how they lived, what decisions they made, how they sacrificed really their own personal private lives and their own connection with their families often, because that was totally in another country, in another language, in another. And so I think there are our own saints in our own province, in our own religious community today. I think we regard them as really the people who sacrificed the most in establishing the places that we had. We had a couple places in China, and of course we're no longer there because everything that looks Catholic at all gets eliminated or covered up so that they don't know that it's really a Catholic attempt to keep the religious life alive and the church active, even though there's some, a lot of it's underground. So these sisters then went to Japan, and we have still, we have I think 4 places in Japan. And I was going, always going to be a missionary, but when I saw the sisters coming back, the Chinese, that was a whole different scene for me. And so I have a special, I think maybe we all feel specially attached to our Japanese, our Chinese sisters. I'm Japanese also, but they're becoming fewer and fewer as time goes on, of course. And Sister Marie and I, Marie Chang, I don't say it right, Chang, you're supposed to say Chang. She and I lived together for about 13 years. And the downside of that was I never learned Chinese cooking. I don't know why. I had the opportunity. And she would say things differently, and I wasn't sure what she was talking about sometimes when we were cooking something. But it was an interesting experience living with her over those many years. Let's see, what else? And I was just called to, I guess, or told to, that I would be a nurse and I would enjoy it, as they say. You know, you will do something and you will enjoy it. And they were right about that one. I started to say before that people would ask me, didn't you want to leave at some time? I think I was homesick a little bit in the beginning because it was very rigid, very strict. We weren't allowed to write letters in the beginning, and we weren't allowed to see our families in the beginning and all that. It was kind of brutal, but we lived through it, and it was very strengthening, like the military, I think. Uh-huh. You know, in some ways, it strengthened you for what was ahead. And
well, in a different culture, you're almost cloistered. Wouldn't you consider that almost cloistered, because you really have no contact with the...
Oh, it was cloistered. Yeah. You're right. Uh-huh. And everything was... taken care of for us, you know, what we would do for recreation. And we had recreation, though, because it was all, it all came about from many experiences that sisters and brothers and priests had had over many years. So they knew that it had, that'd be all right. My people are calling me all the time, of course.
Yeah, your phone.
I'm very important. My public.
Well, exactly. It's your fan base.
Absolutely, sister.
It's probably an advertisement for something. So I was told that I would be among many of our sisters were told that nursing was our profession, our primary profession, and so that's what I would do, and I would go to St. John's Hospital School of Nursing, which is now... praise the Lord, a college, and now they have every level of nursing available for nurses, for prospective nurses, and I'm very proud. We're all very proud of St. John's, I think.
Yes, yes. My sister graduated from St. John's School of Nursing, and my wife works at St. John's in nursing.
Oh, that's great. It's a wonderful place. I was just there day before yesterday.
Great hospital.
Yeah, and college. I was just there for a renewal or a recognition of people who were getting... recognized for accomplishing their, finishing their graduation activities and requirements, and they have annually, they have a recognition like that, and then people come who donate to the school, to the College of Nursing, and they were there also. Just wonderful people who have taken out of their own pocket to and one of the gentlemen afterwards was telling me, we were standing waiting for our cars to be brought up to us, and he said, where else could you put $50, no, where else could you put a donation that you know would last for $50 and go to a good cause? He and his wife had given donations, and he said, we gave more than that, but sometimes we would just give us what we could give.
Right.
He was a very fine gentleman with a lot of appreciation of health care, of these women. It happened to be all women. We do have men in the school also. But it was a wonderful experience for me, even to hear him stand up and say, I want to remember that statement because I think it's so meaningful for the people who are willing to give in whatever way they can give, time, money, energy, talents, just like our volunteers here. We have 200-some volunteers here, and they're reaching out to other people just to for the sake of healthcare and trying to keep in this crazy world of what healthcare is. We can't even figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, here at St. Mary's, how many volunteers?
I think it's 240.
Wow, that is a, that's
something
great.
Like 240. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're all running around with.
They're not all here at once, are they?
No.
That's right.
Fortunately, no.
Let me remind everybody, you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert this morning with our guest, Sister Chaminade Kelly. And Sister is a nurse of the Hospital Sisters of St. Francis. And Sister is moving back to Springfield next week. And we won't see her as often. We hope to still see her around.
Yeah.
She's the parish nurse at St. James and Patrick. And she's talking today a little bit about her formation and her career and what's going to be next for Sister Sham.
Yeah.
So, Sister, when you move back to Springfield, what will you be doing?
I don't know.
Oh, well, there's...
I don't know. I said I thought maybe I would play the organ because I never played an organ before.
Well, that'd be good.
Do you know the piano?
Not too well.
Yeah.
Well, then that'd be organ to be good.
No, I think there'll be things to do. And people have said, oh, that's such a beautiful place, at Kiara Center, the retreat center.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the Mother House itself. And
that's at Riverton?
Yeah,
the Mother House?
People say at Riverton. It's not really. It's right on the edge of Springfield, and the address is Springfield.
Oh, okay.
But Riverton is right up next to it. So that's where people are familiar with that sign that says Riverton, and that's where you make the turn. So I don't know what I'll be doing, except I said I'll be going home, in a sense. Not home, but home.
Right.
And I'll be living with the sisters. I have said to several people, they say, oh, it's so beautiful there and so wonderful, and the grass is green and the flowers are beautiful. And I said, did you ever live with 70 ladies? And one of the men in my apartment where I'm living at the present time, he said, well, I have, because in our apartment there are probably, they're not 70, but there are quite a few women. I thought, well, I guess a lot of men are adjusting to living with women. And I hadn't thought about all the challenges we have in life, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know. It was my idea. I felt like I'm not going to be driving too much more. And I mentioned that to Father Nick, our chaplain here. I said I just wanted him to know that I'd be leaving, and that next birthday I'll be 90, and I don't want to be driving if it's not safe. And he said, are you afraid you're going to run over some other 90-year-old lady? I said, well, I really hadn't thought of it that way. But,
yeah.
I still have some kind of energy left. I've been blessed with good health, and so I would like to, if I can, just share that with my sisters. In whatever area I can serve. I can still walk, and so I can walk in our wonderful area that we have at the Mother House and Kiara Center, and I'll see what comes up, because it was my decision. Nobody said, you better go to the Mother House, or you better quit driving, or whatever.
Right.
And I think our leadership was really grateful that I said that before they had to say it, and say, turn in your car, turn in your keys, you know. There comes a time in your life when you just realize that that part is finished. And I've really enjoyed, I'm not really a parish nurse in the strict sense. They don't even use that phrase anymore in parish nursing. They use it some other fancy word. I don't know what it is, but they've changed the phrase of it. And I told Father John, he doesn't need a parish nurse, because he does. He's our pastor, and he does everything. He runs to
everything. He's the healer.
Yeah. He's the healer. So,
well, and he makes trips to both the hospitals every day and sees the folks in the nursing homes. I think that's his main mission in life is to take care of the sick and dying. And man, what a great mission for a priest, and to do it. I mean, he's there every day.
And you know, what a comfort it is. Excuse me. I've probably been in the hospital more times than you have, Dave, as a patient. But when you're in there, all you can think about is getting out.
That's right.
You know, you
That's
want
right. Sure.
out.
Sure.
And what a comfort it is while you're sitting in there, and you may be frustrated, or you may be bored, or you may be in pain or some type of suffering, and in walks a priest or a sister, and they sit down, and they're so calm, they're so reassuring, so prayerful, just so loving, and it's such a comfort. I mean, that is a noble ministry.
That's great. I've been doing it every two days a week for Father since he asked me. He said, what do you do on you know, what days do you go to the hospitals? And I, so I told him, he said, that's good. I said, good for what? He said, well, I'd like you to take two of the days that I can. Oh, I didn't mean that.
Well. Yeah. So this isn't going to be a retirement, is it?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see about that.
And Sister, I know you have kind of headed up the Extraordinary Minister of Holy Communion for our parish. And we used to have the Emmaus breakfasts and get together.